Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and that's what I'm known all over the internet. It's either Natalie or StarsCast, but anyways, we have a beautiful guest today, and we didn't know if it was going to fly because I have a notice on my dashboard here that they were having trouble connecting live broadcast. Well, here we are live, and so we don't have to worry about anything. It's kind of like we deemed it so. We said, no, this is not going to affect us, but they might be working on it. It's just not affecting my station. But anyways, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on, stars with a Z, psychics.com. It's undergoing a lot of changes. The design of the site is going to be different. I'm adding phone readings and video. Now, they won't be live video. In other words, you can't talk to me and see me, and I'm going to answer your questions. It will be you purchase a reading, the reader will do a video, and we'll send it back to you, and that's how you'll get your answer. But you will connect, you know, you will be connected with your reader, just won't be live. Let's see what else. Prices are going to change. I'm really doing the redesign because, you know, it's really difficult in the arena, I like to call it, of what I'm in. Psychics are, there's so many out there. And when I started back working for America Online, it was nothing. You know, where there were astrologers, tarot card readers, mediums, channelers. But now, because of the internet, everybody out there, and I don't know if they're all real, but they're wannabes, psychics. So what they've done is they have created their own sites, or they do it off of Facebook or Instagram. And, of course, it cuts into businesses like myself and all the other ones, too. So I have found that, you know, you need a lot of money to do a lot of advertising. However, most of your places like Pinterest and all, they don't want psychic sites to advertise, and I've tried. So I'm going another route. You know me. I look for an alternative. And the alternative was I had a gal, one of my gals called me, and she says, there are 30 readers that want to come work for you doing phones. Well, that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I've always wanted to do them, and I will do them. But I thought, oh, I don't know. You know, I could have done them like 10 years ago. Site's 12 years old. I could have done them then. And I did them before Stars was an actual site. So now we're doing all this. My webmaster's in Greece, and he's working, believe it or not, for me there, and his other job. He has another thing that he does. And so we haven't missed a beat. I don't know. Prices will not be the same forever, but it will be a special. And I'm going to do that. And then, of course, the tagline. You know what? I'm going to teach you something. The tagline is, so if you look up Star Psychics, your future awaits. Underneath it is about, oh, I don't know, maybe 30 words. If you're lucky, you can get that many, about telling you what the site is about. Well, I'm changing that. And, of course, once you add telephone readings and all of that, it automatically moves you up. So you see, there's a method to my madness because I know I can't move the site up to the number 5, 6 position in Google because those are keywords and nobody gets them. Trust me, I've tried. So I'm doing it another way. And, of course, we're all over Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Tumblr and Instagram. I have 1, 2, 3. I have 4 pages there. And so I'm pretty proud of that. But I have 2 gals that do the work for me, one who does a lot of it. The other one is in Africa. She does a lot too. And my one gal is in the UK. So you see, it's just worldwide. It really is worldwide. So that's enough about that. The mysticlivingtoday.com. Well, in January, it will celebrate its 25th year. And I look back to when I started it. And I was sitting on my floor with four other friends. We were having margaritas, and my late husband was making pizzas, and we were laughing. Oh, Natalie, you need to do this. So you see, I get coerced into everything. But I found that to be really good. But now I have Tony. I've had Tony, my webmaster, for about 16 years, and he's made it so easy. But in January, we're going to move it all over to a flip magazine. And that is where you click on the corner and it flips the page. So that's opening up a big door, and I want to launch it in January because it's my 25th anniversary. And, you know, I say that and I kind of gulp because that's a long time. But when it started, I had to beg people for articles, excerpts. I had to email everybody. Now I don't have to do that at all. They all come to me, and I'm very, very blessed. So I'm going to bring in my guest, who also came to me because of her publicist. And we've already chatted a little bit, and she's probably listening and laughing or smiling and thinking, oh, my gosh. But anyways, she has a book out, a new one out. It just came out, actually. And so my guest today is Sue Schneider. How are you today, Sue?
I am wonderful, Natalie. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Doing? Sounds like it's been a great
run
for you.
Always, I'm always busy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll think, I don't have much to do today. Oh, don't say that. Because, you know, there's a blog post I have to do. And then I look to see what's being posted by my gals, always. I always look. You know, a good earner will not just leave the reins to somebody else. You have to keep. And I'm never disappointed, never. I mean, it's just wonderful for me. And then there's always something. I was telling you before the show of the animals that I feed. Maybe my ducks will come today. I had the one female yesterday, but it's really late in the season to feed them. The mallards usually go south by now. But about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the two females brought their little babies. That's really unheard of. It's very late because they fly. And they can't fly. I mean, they're flying now. I see them trying to fly, you know, from the water because I have a lagoon behind me. It's man-made. It sounds like it's wonderful. It is wonderful. I mean, it's very beautiful. But I can see them. I watch them. So I expect them to take off at any moment in time. And then they don't come back until, I guess about June. And then I'm flying again with them, so to speak. But anyways, I want to talk to you about your book. But first, I want to talk about you. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, you know, you have all these great authors and all of that, but how do they get started? So how did you get your feet wet in all of this? I mean, I know what your credentials are. You have a PhD. But you got into the field in a special way. Some door opened for you, and I want to know how it began.
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. This is my life's work. This is more than that because it's my life's journey. And, you know, I was always a seeker. That was just who I knew myself to be at a very early age, really wanting to explore religion, spirituality, different cultural traditions. That's why I went into cultural and medical anthropology, curious about how other cultures viewed things, perceived things, and did things, especially health and healing. I've always been interested in health and healing. And, you know, always been interested in Eastern religions and Eastern practices, but never really found the right doorway until I was actually in Mexico. I was in my early 30s, and I was doing my doctoral research at that point, living in Mexico for a year, working with a group of women who were health promoters, working out of a community center. And they were an interesting group because they were bringing practices from all over the world, actually, into Mexico, into this community center to help other women. And it just so happened that one of the women that I was working with there ran into an American who was in Mexico City, and she was wanting to teach meditation and opened up the opportunity for this group of women that I was working with to be able to do a week-long meditation retreat. And at the time, I felt like, no, you know, I can't do this. I'm too busy. I don't have time to take a week and, you know, slow down.
Famous
right?
words, yes, okay.
Of course. I didn't see what was right in front of me. I was also extremely anxious. I was, you know, a kind of a type A personality. I was trying to get this research done. I was very unsure of myself. How is this going to work? You know, am I going to do enough? Is this enough? And so it was hard for me to actually give myself permission to take this week. But it was the best decision I ever made, because what happened in that week was I experienced in my body what it was like to stop, to feel the emotions that I was feeling, to feel the tension, to feel the weight, to feel the stress, to feel the anxiety, and to learn how to breathe into that and learn how to open space for that. And I was doing that with this group of beautiful women. There was this one fascinating moment, and this is a cross-cultural experience, but you know, meditation we do in silence. And it was somewhat of a personal experience, but of course we're all doing this together. But there was this moment where this group of women busted out in song. It was a song that they're all familiar with from their Catholic background, which is also interesting. And they just sang. In this moment, it was a spontaneous singing. And I just say that because there are so many ways that we touch into who we are when we get quiet like that and we get still, and especially over the course of a few days if we have the chance to do that. So that was a long story. That was a long way of saying that, you know, for me, it was finding that doorway and experiencing it directly for that period of time that really changed me. And it showed me that the value of really slowing down and stopping and making this a practice. I've made that a practice. That was 20 years ago. And I've made this a daily practice ever since then. I have been teaching mindfulness for over a decade now, and more I see the value of having conversations about what is mindfulness, what does it mean in this current day world, because we are so overstimulated, overactivated, you know, and disconnected from ourselves and from others. And so this is really why I wrote this book, because I had been teaching this stuff and I felt like there are, you know, a lot of great mindfulness books out there, but I really wanted to offer one that really simplified things, because some people feel like this is so inaccessible. You know, I don't know what religion this is or how to practice this stuff, and a lot of misperceptions about mindfulness and meditation. And I really wanted to simplify it and offer something that anyone at any point in their lives or any point in their practice could enter into this conversation.
And two, you know, sometimes people cannot or they do not have access to groups for
Absolutely.
Whatever reason. And so I like to read. I don't have access to groups. I'm in South Carolina. It's the Bible Belt. I mean, it's very... You don't say too much about spirituality. I mean, it's still very old-fashioned here. So for me, getting a book is perfect because I focus on it, and a lot of times I sit outside because the weather is great most of the year, and it's just perfect for me. You know, I'm like in God's world out there, just the birds and the trees and everything. So, but it's really kind that you did this, because like I said, people cannot meet with people that are like them, and this will certainly help. Okay, so you decided to put all this in a book, but what is the book about exactly? I mean, what does it do? What does it do for somebody?
Well, it really leads somebody into the experience of practicing mindfulness meditation. So that's one part of it, the experience of learning to pause and sit and observe the thoughts you know, enter into the body, notice what's arising, befriending what's arising. So it's a step-by-step kind of process that helps people do that. But I would say more so, it's actually, it's an approach to help people understand how to access the values, the principles of everyday mindfulness. And when I say everyday mindfulness, I mean that we over-focus on sometimes in our culture that we need to sit in meditation to get quiet or to, you know, cultivate an open heart. Mindfulness is actually what we can do in the everyday moment where we are being aware. We are bringing awareness to what's arising in our minds and in our thoughts. We are using attitudes. Bringing attitudes like using beginner's mind, looking at what's arising from a child's perspective, or looking at things that are happening around us, you know, without judgment, you know, without kind of layering our expertise on top of that so that we can see what's real, what's in front of us. Using patience in our lives to let things unfold. Sometimes we can get really impatient and really strive and try to push, you know, the ball up the hill or whatever the metaphor might be, and really being able to bring a little bit of an attitude of patience, of acceptance, of trust into our lives. These are all really important attitudes of mindfulness. And so this book is really trying to help us cultivate step by step some of these attitudes in our life. How do we bring them into our everyday moments, whether it is, you know, a busy day at work, you know, caring for our kids, being available for our family, whatever it is, people assume that we have to just sit and be separate from all of those activities to be practicing mindfulness. But I really want to help people understand how important it is to bring these attitudes into our everyday moments, as well as learning to pause and sit still and cultivate the foundations of mindfulness meditation, which I also take people through. So the book has, in each chapter, it kind of unwinds some of the unconscious patterns that we get into that can serve as barriers to mindfulness for us. And as we unwind those unconscious barriers, we can replace them with new ways of attuning and, you know, working with whatever's coming up. And then at the end of each chapter, I have a short practice that helps really situate some of those learnings in the body in, you know, a mindfulness meditation practice.
Well, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking how this can apply to today, the world. I find myself, well, I always listen to the news a little bit in the morning, but I can't watch it all. I mean, I can't. I'm an empath. I cannot watch it all day because it's too upsetting to me. And I, you know, I'm smart enough to know, well, don't do this to yourself, Natalie. You're sitting there and you're in tears, but yet you can't do a thing. There isn't anything you can do to change it. It has to be changed by other people in other cultures all over the world. But I when I get like that, you know, sometimes I'll watch it too long. I mean, I just shut it off and I walk away. I go outside. I mean, my little thing is going outside because it makes me feel so good when I'm outside. Yeah. But I think people can apply this right now to things that they're doing. And all it does is cause you stress. I mean, stress to the max.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to, but it's easy. It's not that easy to do. I mean, you know, we're talking about it. I mean, you have to make a practice of it. But I know for myself that it's beneficial because I really can't function. And it's, you know, it's not fun when you're a super, I call it an empath, that every little thing bothers you. And you have to stop and say, okay, I can't let this bother me. And you try to move your focus on something else, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I can be busy doing a lot if I really want to, But then there's sometimes that it just takes hold of me. So people like myself, and I'm sure there's many out there that are going to hear this or are hearing it now, they're probably sitting, yeah, boy, that's me today already. I'm frazzled. I don't know. I'm helter-skelter.
Right.
I don't know where to go. I don't. And problems, too, and I'm sure your book helps with this, problems that we have, I guess we need to think, if you can't change it, stop worrying about it. You're worrying about it is only going to cause you harm. It's not going to alter what you're worried about. If you can change it,
yeah.
I always say that to people. If you can change it, if you can go and make a difference, and it's not going to be detrimental to you, it's not going to make you lose value in yourself, and if you can do that, then that's good. Like even helping people or whatever. But I find, I mean, I get all this stuff in the mail and I, you know, feed this, a dollar feed 20 people. I get really sad because I think to myself, well, I don't know if I'm going to make a difference. You know, I guess I am. I mean, I think about doing soup kitchens because I think I'd get really a lot from it. But then again, I think, too, Sue, you'd probably be upset when you walked out. It would probably really
yes.
bother me. And you see, so there I'm putting myself first and thinking, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you just add stuff to your shoulders, and then sometimes you can't really get rid of them. You can't push them off because they're there.
Yeah.
And then that's what you keep thinking about. So I know you do coaching. I know on your site you have a blog, and I want to mention your site too right now. It's called meetingthemoment.org. And I love that. But what I love is meeting the moment with kindness. Now, I want to know what your interpretation is of that. Does that mean everything, every moment in our lives should be met with kindness and not negativity and not judgment? What does it mean? What does that mean, Sue?
That's such a wonderful question. And, of course, I'm always so thrilled to talk about the title of the book because it means a lot to me. And really how I view this and the reason why it's so central to the theme of the book is that the way I understand mindfulness, the way I was trained, is that there are two wings of mindfulness. On one hand, it's the awareness that we bring to our worried mind, to our anxious mind, to our concerned mind. It's the awareness that allows us to know what's happening in the moment, because we can be so unaware of what the stories are that we're telling or why we feel so anxious or overwhelmed or guilty or all of those things. So that awareness is the first wing. But the other wing of mindfulness is compassion. It's care. It's the care that we give first to ourselves, because in
mm-hmm.
order to be able to bring that compassion out into the world, we have to be kind and gentle with ourselves, and this is something that can be so hard for people to do. We can feel so compassionate for the outside world or for all of the suffering of others, but when it comes to ourselves, how gentle
yep.
are we really, right?
Really, that's true.
And so these two wings of mindfulness, if we only have awareness, then we have an understanding of what's happening in our minds, but we don't have kindness of heart to bring to whatever we find. We could be really judgmental towards ourselves if we don't bring that wing of compassion. And if we only have compassion without awareness, then it's just kind of empty because we don't really fully understand the scope of what's arising and falling and how everything can be impermanent. And so these two things really go together. But where I get in this book with meeting the moment with kindness, and I would never say, you know, we should strive to meet every moment with kindness, because that's what mindfulness is about, is recognizing our human frailties and our human, you know, challenges, and that we're going to have moments that are full of anger and rage and sadness and guilt and whatever it is, but that we can do our best by bringing awareness to what's coming up. And when we can bring that awareness up, if we can match that with compassion, we're just going to be in a better place. And again, that starts with the self-compassion. And I write a lot, and I share a lot of personal stories in this book about my own experiences and working through how can I be kind with myself. But to me, and in all of my teaching that I've been doing for so many years, it's been amazing to see how even just bringing up this concept of self-compassion can just open people's minds up. Like, oh, it's okay? It's okay to give myself permission to forgive myself for this thing or to be a little bit more gentle with myself. And so this self-compassion really is at the heart. It really is what comes first. But I want to also, you brought up so many amazing points about how much we're struggling right now with world events and the sadness and the real immobility I think a lot of us feel. But this is a quote, I think, and this is why I practice mindfulness. This is a quote from Yonggi Mingyur Rinpoche, and he writes, "Until we transform ourselves, we are like mobs of angry people screaming for peace. In order to move the world, we must be able to stand still in it."
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
I share
perfect.
That because it is so powerful, and it really reminds us about that power of awareness, power of quiet, and the power of compassion. But we have to stand still first before we know how we can offer wise compassion into the world.
It's really, really tough. People are, and I blame the digital world, I in a way, because there's just too much out there, too much to absorb, and it affects each and every one of us in different ways. Now, you know, world events. You know, sometimes you can sit there and think, why do people do this? Why are they so angry and mean? Why? I ask that a lot. But it's not a perfect world. And, you know, they all have their religions. And, you know, they'll say, and especially what's going on now, oh, well, you know, we have to do this. No, you don't have to do this. Everybody knows what's right and what's wrong, unless they're total nincompoops, and I say that loosely. But you know what I'm saying? They're just, I mean, the leaders of these countries, you know, if I sat to talk with them, oh, we'd go round and round. Because, you know, is this what your God, what you believe in, is telling you to do? See, I question that all the time. And I don't understand. There's no balance. You hurt so many people. Why? You know?
Right.
It's power. Part of it is power, Sue. Part of it is somebody wants power. Somebody told somebody, well, you know, if you do this, you're going to stand out from the crowd and you're going to be the boss. Well, really? Boss of what?
Right.
Oh, I could have great talks with them. They wouldn't like me at all.
There's a quote that this reminds me of, and I don't know who wrote this, but it says, "The world is divided into people who think they are right." And that's it.
Right.
And that's true. It cracks me up because it's so true, and the divisiveness around that. But, you know, this is what we learn from mindfulness about attachment, right? Attachment to our opinions, attachment to our beliefs. What if we just open some space instead of clinging, you know, so much, and just open some space and brought some curiosity? And, you know, as we start going in these cycles of frustration and anger, to just bring some awareness to that, and that's really where this moment of kindness comes up. Because this is hard stuff. This is hard on our hearts. We want the world to do the right thing. We want ourselves to have some kind of impact, and it's really hard. So to be able to bring awareness in these moments that we really get triggered by watching the news, by, you know, really getting in conversation even about some of these things, and just opening up some space for compassion for ourselves, I really think that can go a long way in these moments. Of course, you know, we want to be actors in this, but truly, unless we are in a grounded, stable, still place, That is the only space for wise decision making. That's it right there. And so I just keep coming back to these tools of mindfulness that help me try to stay centered and grounded when everything's tugging at my emotions. But we just have to be aware of what's happening within us too.
And not focus so much on things that you have no control over. But I try not to do that. I mean, I'm of service. I was talking to my cardio doctor yesterday, and I go to him once a year, and he said, well, tell me, he says, why? Because he said to me, you're probably going to live till you're 100 because I'm in really good shape for my age. And I said, oh, because I told him it's scary because most of my friends have passed away at my age. They're gone. And it's scary. He said, but why? He said, look at you. Look what you are. And I said, but it's a very lonely path I walk. I said, you have to understand that. And we sat, all we did is talk about things that are going on because he says, there isn't anything I can do to change you. You're like A plus. You're like everything is perfect. And he said, people are going to say, what is it you do? I said, it's what I don't do, probably. Yeah. But I was spared when I was 32. I almost died. So that's a long story. But I told him, I said, look at the world. He said, oh, if you could just have an impact. I said, yes, but you know what? I'd be frazzled because I'd want to beat these people to pulps because you don't get it. You just don't get it. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Even politicians. I have a girlfriend who loves to cite things to me, and I'll hold up my hand and I'll say, don't. I said, because your thinking is not necessarily right. I said, but I'm not going to show you the way. I am not going to get upset and ruin our friendship. Politics and religion, I was raised a Catholic. But the thing of it is that I believe in everything. I mean, I have this Jewish friend that was on my show, and he just told me, he said, you are an earth angel. He said, I want you to come to Jerusalem. Well, not now, of course. But he said, he wrote to me and he said, I will take you on the path that Jesus walked because Jesus came to me. And I said, you could do that? He said, I will do that. And he said, and everybody's going to know when you're there who you are. I said, why? He said, I've always had this feeling about you. And he said, so, you know, hopefully one day, he's okay, by the way. He's not in harm's way. I write to him and say, are you okay? Are you safe? Because he was in Jerusalem, and I think now, then he went to Beirut, and then he said, I'll go to Dubai if I have to. I'm okay, you know. But people, all cultures, I love talking to him. I love talking to you. I'd like to learn about everything that's all over the world. But then I stop and think to myself, well, maybe that's not a good thing, because then it adds to me and my frustrations about I can't fix anything. So I have to be careful of that. But your book is a guiding light. Your book can help people who are struggling with things like myself. I mean, I don't have your book, but I'm talking to you, so I know. And I think if they could really get it, and I don't know if it's an audio book or whatever, but if they could just get it, and it's a practical book. It's going to change your life. Meeting the moment with kindness. I just love that. Meet every moment with kindness. Don't be judgmental. Don't say, oh, God, look at that loser. No. Don't do that. Because first of all, it's energy. It's energy, Sue.
Yeah.
You're putting energy out there, and it may not be that good. That's true. I know.
Yeah. We in our culture just do not spend enough time talking about the heart, talking about care, and talking about what kind of energy we are putting out there. But I also want to say that, you know, the book shares all of the things that I have struggled with. And the truth of the matter is that we are struggling. We are struggling human beings. And that is okay. You know, to make the first step to be able to name it and say, yeah, I have these challenges. I sometimes say, you know, I've had a lot of great meditation teachers, but sometimes I say that anxiety and insomnia have been my best teachers, because those two aspects of my life have forced me to stop and pay attention. What am I missing? What am I not understanding? What is my body trying to tell me, you know, and my body mind? And I am the first one to put out there how difficult this whole process is of rewiring our brains towards the positive. We have such a strong negativity bias. This is what, you know, kept us out of harm's way from an evolutionary perspective, our fight or flight, you know, system, our whole, the whole setup with our nervous system. We have to be on alert. And in the past, it was on alert from the lions and tigers, but now, boy, we are on alert psychologically. And our minds don't know the difference between the physical stressors and the psychological stressors. And so we are on trigger alert all the time, and our bodies are reacting to this. And so, you know, we are not alone. I am not alone when I say I struggled with anxiety and all of these things. But I will say that really making mindfulness not just a part of my life, but integrated into everything I do in my life is what's made a big difference for me, because it gives me a framework for looking at some of these challenges and applying, you know, some of these practical attitudes or practical approaches when things get tough. I had a challenging day yesterday. Some work things came up and I really struggled. I was up for a lot of hours last night and woke up feeling pretty grumpy this morning. And yet I knew it was okay. I needed to just open to that grumpiness. I needed to let it be what it was and kind of let it have a little bit of space, because forcing a change or pushing away what we're actually feeling only, you know, increases the power of those things within us. But when we open space up for it and we name it, oh, I'm just grumpy today. You know, that was a rough day. I'm not sure what to do right now. It's okay. Put my hand on my heart, take a deep breath, you know, bring some compassion into that moment. And I've been doing that today. And it's the best I can do. I can't say I'm in a great mood or I've solved all of the problems. But for right now, it's okay. And I think this is just an important lesson for bringing mindfulness into our everyday lives, because there are just so many things bombarding us. We were talking about, you know, the internet and the dinging of the emails and the phone and, I mean, everything around us.
Right.
The stressors are so incredibly intense. And, in fact, you were talking about the stressors of media. Research shows that media is actually like a number two stressor in our lives. To think that these things that are external to us can impact us so much. But you are also right that these are choices. We don't have to block them out and act as if they don't exist, but we can recognize, oh, okay, I'm at my limit with, you know, with the media right now, with the internet right now, with the emails right now. I'm at my limit. I'm going to just take a pause and make a choice after that of how I want it to proceed. If we do not pause, we don't have a chance to make a choice of how we want to be in our moments. And this is what happens. We get just caught in these cycles of doing or the emotional cycles without that awareness and without that pause. We don't even have a chance at taking a look at it and stepping away. So these are
spiral.
Yeah,
you'll spiral.
Yeah.
You will. You won't be able to get out of that vacuum. And it's just really amazing. You mentioned something, it was in the notes that I got, about your son, Aiden. How is he involved in the book? I mean, his mom does this, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, being a mom is my first role in my life. I love this kid, and it's such an important thing. And my husband, he's a therapist. He's a psychotherapist, and he's also a mindfulness instructor. And so we both really have this rich practice in our lives. And so Aiden, from, you know, he wouldn't remember the minute he was born, but he has always known that before we go to bed, that is our practice time. My husband and I sit together and meditate for at least 20 minutes before we go to bed every night, and that is whether we are on vacation or whether we're at home. My son sees this, and we also really work a lot with the challenges that come up in our lives and in his life from this framework of mindfulness, you know, asking each other questions of, is there something you can let go of right now? Is there maybe a moment you want to just give yourself a little bit of compassion right now? He understands these core, you know, terms and concepts within mindfulness. You know, he's practiced a little bit here and there. We've had him go to, you know, meditation camps and meditation groups and all of that. And, you know, it doesn't stick as a teen. At this point, he's 13 years old. It's not a practice that he wants to choose. But I will say that these things do filter into our family life, because a couple of years ago, he actually made the suggestion that before we actually eat our meal, that we should take a few quiet, deep breaths. And we have been doing that as a family together every single night. For, I don't know, at
least 2 years.
Talk
about mindful. He sure is.
And that was his idea. And we all do that together. And we just know that's what we do, because he recognizes the value of stopping and slowing down. And the biggest, I think, gift that we give him in this space is just role modeling. What is it like to, if we come home from a busy day and we're kind of frenzied, instead of pushing through that kind of negative energy, to just tell him, you know what, and this is whether it's me or my husband, tell him, I'm going to take a 10-minute pause before I start dinner. I'll see you in 10 minutes. And he knows what that means. He knows mom needs to get centered. You know, mom's kind of overwhelmed.
Frazzled.
You know,
she had a day and a half, so I got to give her time.
She had a day and a half.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what I
right.
do is if things get to be, you know, I get hit with all these emails. Well, this isn't working. How do I do this? Blah, blah. It's just, and with the magazine, I don't have that many issues with it. But my Star Psychics, I do. And I'll see all these things, and I get up, and I say out loud, I have a cat. His name is Mushy. Mushy, it's time for Natalie. Let's go. We're walking away from this because it will get a hold
perfect.
Of you. Because, you know, I'll get people that are they try to trick me. They try to get extra minutes. They try to, you know what? I'm ahead of all of it. Tony and I worked on the site. It took almost 2 years to get it right. And along the way, we have finally tuned the whole thing. You cannot do anything without me knowing. Because, and it's awful to not trust people, but I have seen so many people, you know, it would be like, oh, Sue created a new account, and so she gets a special. Well, Sue's going to go and create another account so she can get another special. No. First of all, I have your IP. Second of all, and people really don't think about this, and I'm going to give away something. They don't realize that they're going to use the same PayPal account. Do you really think I don't see that?
Yeah.
I get the receipt. Oh, and then I'll write them and say, gee, I'm really sorry. I give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'll say, gee, I'm really sorry. I'm sure you forgot, which they did it 20 minutes ago, that you had already created an account. They'll write me back and say, no, I didn't. Oh, I want to hit my head and say, oh, yeah, let me call you. I'll tell you. Yeah, but then you have to realize these people do this throughout their life. It's not just on a site like this, or they do it on other sites. They do it with people. They do it with circumstances, because they're always trying to slide out and get something extra. And sometimes this is what I think. When somebody does that, and if you want your money back because you're lying to me about something, I'll just disable your account and I'll block your IP. You won't come back in because – first of all, I don't want that negativity in my site, and I don't want you, I call ramrodding my readers. I protect them. I know who they are. And so sometimes you have to do that even though you think, oh, you probably lost a client, Natalie. Yeah, but did I really? Because this person, and you have to give good judgment. You have to make good judgment, and then you let it go. I mean, I've done this since I was 12 years old. I can't even tell you how many times I've done it. And I'm still here. So, but that's what
the
happens to us.
It's so important. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
You know,
you have to bring balance to the your life, to your work. But I know about frazzled days. I mean, but those are the days I say, Mercy, I'm going outside. That's it. I'm going outside. I'm not going to pay any attention to this garbly-do. And I sit out there, and pretty soon my squirrels are coming or my ducks are coming. And I just look out there, and it's a beautiful world. And I tell people that. You know, and an example was yesterday I had one girl on the phone who was not very nice to me. I didn't report her. I just let it go because that's not good customer service. And you're representing the doctor. But anyways, I got there, and I'm sitting there, and I bet you do this too. But remember, I'm really of service. That's what I am. I saw this lady trying to wheel this man out. She got him in his chair okay. But then I thought, how are you going to open the door? Nobody was around, right? So I started to get up from the chair, and she turned around, and she backed out. And she saw me walking to her. She says, I got it, but thank you very much. And then I guess she was a nurse, came out. And she said, well, you didn't have to do that. I said, oh, yes, I did. You see the difference between, I didn't say this to her, but there's a difference between her and me. I told my doctor this. He said, you are a gem. I said, no, I'm of service, and I've always known that. I'm never going to be rich. I know that. But what I'm getting back is longevity and good health, and I still look okay to continue my work. So, and he laughed. He says, you're right.
The research supports you completely, and generosity actually is one of those things that contributes the most to happiness. It contributes the most to health. Kindness and generosity. We know this, right?
Yeah.
And you understand your role, that service is so important to you, and you'll go out of your way to bring kindness.
Oh, yeah, I will.
To someone.
I help people in grocery stores when I go. Somebody's trying to reach for something, and a lady went to this man, and she says, you know, I think she's an angel. And I'm turning around, and I'm kind of smiling. Oh, I do this for everybody. If I see you in trouble, and I'm not very big, so I'm 102 pounds, 5'2". I'm not big. And that's what my doctor said. He said, but you're mighty. He said, you're mighty inside. And he said, nobody can defeat you. No, he said, he's sitting there and he said, he got to know me a little better, although I've known him for 20 years. He said, well, let's not talk about your health because there's nothing I can do. But he said, and he was listening, and I wanted to go into medicine, you know, really badly, but nobody encouraged me when I was growing up. You just didn't do that kind of stuff, and it's sad. But I think we do what we're supposed to do. You know, we open these doors, and like you walk into it, I think I can do that. And you end up excelling at it. You end up doing really well at it. But you have to recognize these things, and you have to have balance. And you have to be kind. You have to be. The universe is watching. Right. Trust me.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have a caller. Let's see what they want. Maybe they want to ask you a question. I mean, let's see, or make a comment. Let's see. I don't even know if they will or not. They may or they may not. I don't know, but let's see. Well, maybe I might not be able to connect. Oh, see, we're having connection issues here. Don't forget, Natalie, don't be silly. Hi, you're live on the air with Sue. Do you have a question or a comment for her or me?
I have a love question, if it's okay to ask.
Well, she doesn't do readings now, but she can kind of, I mean, it's up to her. I mean, this is not for readings or anything like that, because we're talking about her book, Meeting the Moment with Kindness. Go ahead. What is it you would like to know?
I just started seeing someone, and I just wanted to know if you see a future between us. But if it's okay if you're not doing readings. I didn't want to ask the wrong question.
Well, no, we're not doing readings. I mean, I could answer you right now, but I don't want to infringe upon my guest because she's doing a wonderful job. But what's your comment to her, Sue? With what you do, this is really good. You know, what would you say What do you want to say to her?
So I need her to actually repeat that question. I heard the "I recently fell in love" part of it.
Oh, yeah. I actually just started seeing someone. We were talking for like about 3 months. We found, and everything is going great. And I'm wondering if you see a future between us, or what you see a future-wise between us.
Oh, well, okay, so I will apply the concept of mindfulness that I'm actually sharing and give you the chance to take a look at what's going on in your heart right now, what's going on in the thoughts that are coming up, and are there any stories you're telling yourself? Because honestly, what's most important is for you to touch in to where you are right now, what you know to be true. And there's just so much wisdom that we hold within ourselves that if we can get quiet and listen and pay attention, we have so many answers that can come up. So that is what I would respond to your question with.
Okay. And there you go. You know, and on my end, what I would say is give it some time and don't have expectations. Because sometimes that's when we get disappointed. You know, I mean, I don't have anybody in my life, and it's really funny. Not funny, but I always say to my son, well, he'd have to sit and talk to you. And he says, oh, you betcha. Because I don't have a father, and, you know, and I'm not married. So, but I think if you look into the, and Sue will agree, if you look into the relationship with mindfulness, really look at it. And just have a good time. Don't expect. Because when we expect too much, that's when it falls apart. Let nature take its course. Let it just go the way it's supposed to go. I think that's really good advice. And you don't have to be a psychic to tell you that. I'm just telling you that that's what I would tell you if I was in session with you. Don't expect. Enjoy it. Yeah. If it's going wonderful, wonderful. Don't worry about it. Because if it's going to happen, go further, it will go further. But you pushing is not going to make it happen. It'll push somebody away. And thank you for calling. I love this, Sue, for you, that you could interact with somebody and use your, kindness and awareness and meeting the moment with kindness and self-love and see how perfect it is. Sometimes things work out.
Right.
So thank you to my caller. I don't know what your name is, but thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So anyways, that's you know, what happens, I think, sometimes. I do have sometimes people will call with questions like that, and sometimes I do have my readers on, which I will be having on later. I don't know if it's going to be this month. May not be until just before Christmas, something like that. I'm kind of putting things – I'm kind of waiting so I can launch everything at one time. I just like to blast everything out there, you know. But, I think, too, as we get older, we get wiser, or we're supposed to. And see, like for me, because I know I'm a lot older than you, my son is a lot older than your son, I remember when I was really young what it was like. I mean, I was like – frantic if, you know, somebody didn't call, or, oh God, you know, you get this jealousy thing in you, and don't do it. The sooner you recognize that that's what it is, you make it go away. Don't do it. It'll ruin you. It'll take you down a path, and you're not going to like yourself. It's true. And so you have to, just be kind. Just appreciate everything that is coming your way, everything, you know. And I think you would agree with that, Sue, because you have something really great going for you with this book, which just came out in October, so it's not that old. And I'm sure you're on all kinds of podcasts and doing all kinds of things. And it's wonderful connecting with somebody who doesn't really do what I do, but yet she does. You know?
Yeah, we're talking about the same principles, right?
yeah, exactly. And I haven't written a book. I mean, I have a fairy tale I want to write. I just figured out the name of it. But, yeah, I I want people to believe in things they cannot see, and that's how I end my show. That's how I end the posts that I do, because they're really there. And just, you know, and rely upon self.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're wrong about everything, because it's a learning curve for you, you know?
Yeah. It's that inner wisdom. Again, like we just we don't learn how to cultivate that inner wisdom. We don't learn how to trust. And it's just so important that we
because
give
we think it's
chance.
The end of the world. Oh, this is the end of the world. Yeah. He didn't call. It's the end of the world. I just know it. It's the end of me. I can't I can't do it. I can't function. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm the voice of wisdom because I've been around a long time. And I remember feeling about things happening, and I wanted to fix it. I wanted, you know, and I kept asking, but why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Why can't I?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, think about it. Think about yourself. And I always tell people, too, sometimes you don't see it today, but maybe a week from now, you're going to see something, or something will come to you, and you'll look back and you'll say, why was I so upset? Oh, my gosh, this is so stupid. But it's a process of learning. I think that's being, we're humans, and that's what happens to us. We can't really, the sooner you learn, the better off you're going to be, though, I can tell you that much. Very few things really disturb me. I worry more about, like, my granddaughter and my son. My granddaughter's in her second year of college. She's in art and design school. She's found her niche, and she has a boyfriend. You know what I told him? I said, out of everything you do, you make sure she goes to school every single day. And he looked at me. He said, you know, I'm not worried about her parents. I'm more worried about you. I said, you should be. She's my only granddaughter. You should be. And he meant it. He knows. I will pull out all the stops with him because she's the future, you know. And my son, my son is like me, so I'm really blessed. And I bet you any money your son is like you and your husband. He has to be because look at what he's surrounded with. Look at what he's surrounded with, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have loved my talk with you. I really, really have. I must get your book. Is it an audio book, or can they get it on Amazon? And what?
It is not an audio book yet, but they can get it on Amazon. The full title is Meeting the Moment with Kindness, How Mindfulness Can Help Us Find Calm, Stability, and an Open Heart. And it can be found anywhere the books are sold, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or bookshops. Anywhere.
You know, it's nice to know that there are still books and everything is not online. That you, I don't like to read online. I love books. I love to hold the books. I love the covers.
I do, too. I'm holding this book right now, and it feels so great in my hands. I love reading at night.
One of the authors said, but I don't understand why. I said, because it's the feel of the book. It's the cover. It's what's inside that I said you wrote. So I am connecting with you. I'm not connecting with my monitor, which I have several, three of them. I'm not connecting with those. I don't want to read it online. I want it in my hands. It's important to me.
Right. It is
and
important.
To you, it is
books
too.
Are amazing. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad, you know, you're going to laugh. The last book I read was Fairy Tale by Stephen King, and you think to yourself, oh, he's this spooky writer. I'm going to tell you, it was big. It's a big book. I sat down.
Wow.
I couldn't put it down. It's a story. Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah. But, you know, with him, and I don't know if it's – I don't have your book, so I don't know if you do this, but he goes into detail with every tiny – a doorknob, a chandelier, a door. He tells you everything about it.
Everything.
A lot of it
yeah.
wasn't necessary, but that's his style.
Right.
I've got some books lined up that I want to get. Yours is going to be one of them because I really think it's something that I need in my hands. So when I'm ordering my books, yours is going to be one of them because I think it's important. I love to read what my author, of course, have written. I want to know because I've talked to you and I know what you're about, and I love that.
Yeah.
I really, really love that. You're a beautiful lady.
Yeah, well, I love that. Thank you. You are so kind, and you're bringing such great energy into the world, and I know you're sharing so many wonderful things out there with your audience. So
I am. And I'm going to continue. Now, tomorrow, this show, my gal will take it, and she'll put it on YouTube. I will send you the link. And because that's what we're doing now. You're the third one we're doing this with. We just started because she figured out a way how to do this. And she was so excited. Oh my God, we can do this! You know, we can do this. And so I think it's important, and it'll be because they'll be able to hear us instead of going to Blog Talk Radio. They'll actually be able to go to YouTube on my channel. But I'll send you the link and make sure. I don't know. Do you have Instagram? Do you have social media?
I have an Instagram account. Yes, I do.
And what is it? Is it Sue Snyder or what is it? It's
you
what?
Are challenging me. It's actually Sue.Snyder_CO.
Oh, I'm giving you a challenge for the day. Don't you just love it?
I know. I'm new to Instagram. I'm
leave it to Natalie to do that.
That's funny. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what a wonderful way to continue my day with is talking to you, and I'm so appreciative. And everybody, I want you to go to her site. She's got so much stuff there. It is meetingthemoment.org. And I think this would be really beneficial to most people. And, you know, look at the picture of her book. On her book is a beautiful – is that a hummingbird?
Beautiful.
Or is that – what kind of bird is that?
It's a I am not sure what kind of bird that is, actually. But it
well,
is
it almost looks like a hummingbird because of its beak, but I think the wings are too big, so it's something else. Yeah, but, I know I get a lot of that here in the South, so, And she's got beautiful flowers in the background. The book's cover is so inviting. Go out and get it. I think you'll get a lot from it. And we have really another caller. Let's see. I don't know who this caller is. Let's try before we close the show out. Hold on.
Okay.
As long as it's not a psychic reading, because I don't want to get into all of that here. Okay.
Hi.
Hi. You're live on the air with Sue, and I'm Natalie. And did you want to say something? We're not doing psychic readings, but did you want to comment or ask something of Sue?
I was listening to you ladies, and I'm impressed with what you guys were talking about, and I have to say I got a chuckle out of, I'm sorry my voice is going, I got a chuckle out of what you told your granddaughter's boyfriend. That's cute.
Oh, yeah. Look out. I said, you know, you've heard of tanks, I'll find a tank and run you over.
I love it.
I think when you're a grandmother, isn't it funny when you're a grandmother, she's the only one I'm going to have now, and she is just the light of my eye, besides my son. He's in the other eye. But she has found her niche. And, you know, I've already told
them,
don't mess her up. You do. I'm coming after you.
That. Good for you. I will tell you, my mom loves my sisters and brother to pieces. But when I watch her with her grandkids, I'm like, what are they, worlds above us?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
They are.
Well, you know what? They are a part of you, you see. And see, that's how I think of it. She's a part of me. And I think we look at it that way. They're an extension of us, you know. But and, you know, Sue and I, we just kind of like fell into conversation with each other, right, Sue?
I got a chuckle out of that.
Well, good, remember it. Right?
Yes, I will. Yes. I will be honest. I did not realize that you were not doing readings, and I understand that, and that's absolutely fine. But like I said, I was listening, and I'm like, you know, very impressed, and
thank you.
You're welcome. And that caught my ear, too. So I'm like, oh, grandma.
Oh, yes. At one point or another, you're going to be a grandma, I hope. And you too, Sue, one day. You know,
one day.
One day. One day, but, you know, I want to tell you that we will be doing readings in future shows. I have some readers I'm going to bring on from Stars, and at that right moment in time when I get the nudge, I wait for nudges, like, okay, yeah. Natalie, it's time to do it, and I'll do that, and got a lot of things going right now, the new magazine, the new way it's going to be produced, and all of that, and So be watching for that, because I will have on the show page. Yeah, I'll have on the show page. We will be doing readings today, so you'll know.
That's great. Well, I'm clairvoyant, and I used to do readings. I did stop, and I have my reasons for having stopped. But if I get something strongly, I'll say to somebody, do not get on that plane, or don't do this, or don't do that, or go and do that. That will be fun. You might meet somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if something comes through very strong, and my dreams are very, very clear. Like, some dreams I'll wake up and go, okay, I know I just had a dream, but okay, when's it going to happen? So strong. And then, you know, I don't want to say I turned it off, but I kind of did, because I have a little bit of a spiritual battle with certain things. I have a lot of faith in God. You know, I try to put everything. I believe in readers, and I know there are some truly talented readers.
There are.
But, yes. But I don't believe everybody who says they can read, obviously. And
no.
I don't believe everyone has the gift. I believe it's a gift from God. Just like some people are natural born athletes, not everybody is. Some people are psychic, not everybody is. So that's just my take on it. So I kind of toned it down. And only when I get a very loud message will I now say something to someone.
Well, I'm glad you called in. And I'm glad I made you smile.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Because, you know, he'll look at me sometimes and he'll say, am I doing right? And I said, so far, so good.
Does he really?
Yes, he is. He's very kind and very caring for her. He loves me. He just loves me. My granddaughter said, he just loves you. And I said, well, I said, he has to understand something. It's not his parents he has to worry about. It's me.
Right. Yeah,
so,
that's my mom says about her grandkids.
Yep. See? That's it. We're all alike.
Yep.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, you are. I think that's great. How old is she?
She's 19.
Okay.
She's going to SCAD. It's an art and design school in Savannah, which is like about 15 minutes from me. But, you know, and I'm telling you, I don't want to exclude Sue in this, but, you know, Sue, she's made the dean's list every semester. She's doing it again.
Really?
Yeah, but you know
fantastic.
What it is. She's found her niche. She's found what she's good at. She's very creative. She wants to go to in production. And Savannah is known for movie lot. We have a movie lot there. We have lots going on there. She's in a perfect world. She's perfect. But she told me, she said, now this is meeting the moment with kindness. She said to me, Graham, she said, I got off of the bus because we had to go looking around, you know, and everything. I got off and I said to myself, I'm home. That's how I knew she was going to do good.
Really?
She doesn't get better
she knew.
Than that.
No,
she
you
didn't
can't.
Even question it.
Nope. I saw it because
that's
I saw
people.
Her drawing
that's
a pair
good.
Of eyes on a paper tablecloth. And I said, oh, so you can't draw. She thought you have to go into something and know it all. No, you don't.
No.
You learn the basics. You know, you learn to use your creativity and to enhance what you already know. And that's exactly what that is. So, yeah. So, we're really proud of her. I'm really proud of her. Can you tell?
Yes. How far away is she? Like, how far is Savannah from where she is?
About 12 minutes. And I'm just down the road from her, so we're close, yeah.
No, I mean she's
close.
She's not originally from Savannah.
She's from South Carolina. Yeah, she's from here, South Carolina. Yeah.
So,
and she didn't want to go away to school. She wanted.
Can I tell you, for her
to
go to Savannah and say, I'm home, a lot of times when people make a transition, whether it's to college or for a job, or just I got to get out of my state and I'm moving far away, it takes them a while to figure out, did I make the right decision or not? for her to feel that at peace as soon as she got off that bus, that's, wow, that's a good sign. Good for her. Does she have friends down there? Does she know anybody?
Oh, yeah. She's in her, you know, she's a sophomore, so she's made a lot of friends. And,
oh, good for her.
Yeah, she's, yeah, she's just excelling. And but I told her, I said, you know, you might not get all A's all the time. Oh, she said, I will. It's easy. She said, I will, because I love it so much. She said, it's nothing like high school.
College.
You choose this. High school is a lot of stuff you don't need, but it's part of a learning curve. You need to learn it. But, yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, so thank you for calling. I got to get back here
with
you. I don't really mean to,
to her. It's okay. But I just want to say I'm so happy for her, and I wish her all the success.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
So, Sue, pretty good, eh? Can you imagine this, how this has developed into something else or something else? But it's all in line with your book, and it's all in line with meaning the moment with kindness, and you know, except if you mess with my granddaughter, then I won't, you won't meet me with kindness. I won't meet you with kindness.
Oh, the care you have for your grandkids. No, it's been wonderful to listen to these conversations.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't really want to cut her off, but I think it's really nice to get some interaction from the outside, and thank you for talking to that other lady, too. But anyways, you have an awesome day, and I will send you the link to the show when it's on our YouTube channel, and you can share it. That would be great. That helps me just for the good notoriety, not bad notoriety, but it brings it out that, oh, gosh, look, Natalie did another show. Yes, and, you know, I'm actually booked through January. I mean, I have, I'm very, very lucky. Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. Yeah. You know, I want to keep doing this as long as I can. And But anyways, much success to you. And
thank you.
I may ask you to give me something for the December issue, like maybe an excerpt or a little something, because I'd like to put your show at the bottom. Okay, we'll put our show at the bottom. And it just gives you extra exposure, which I like to do with all my guests. I like to push them out there. I'm going
to
push you out.
Do that. Push me out. I will.
I'm pushing you out.
I'll be happy to send you an excerpt for December.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. Okay, thank you. Have an awesome day. And to everybody, same time next week. Back at 1 to 2. I will not do a show just before Thanksgiving because probably I'll end up cooking something. And I just, I thought, well, what if I'm the one that's having dinner? And then that'll be a real job for me. So I don't know yet, but I just thought I'd just take that day off. But the rest of the time, it's going to be straightforward. But there will be a show next week. And I'm going to end the show like I always do, besides sending everybody love, because you are all loved. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'll say bye and have an awesome day. And much love to you, Sue.
Take good care. Thank you so much, Natalie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.